As I was saying, in chapter 1, Paul told us that you got to get into something that's going to sustain you and not be ashamed of it. And that's why he declares emphatically, he's not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power, it is the thing that will sustain you in your weak moments, in your times of trouble, in your times of tribulation. It is the power of God, not only to salvation, but the living out of your salvation. You know how I know? Because Paul talks for several chapters about how you got salvation and the need for it, that we all tow up, that we all need him. Then Paul gets right into how it was done, and then he concludes the last couple of weeks on why it was done. It was done by divine election. In other words, it is God's sovereignty that has already played this thing out, and that you and I don't have any significant input into the overall scheme of things, that God is God, and God's going to be God. God's going to be God even when you don't think he's God. God is going to be God, ladies and gentlemen, whether you take a vote or whether you just abstain. God is still God, and he's trying to show you that he saved you. You didn't save God. God wasn't lost. You didn't find God. You know, I mean, God didn't find you. God always knew where you are. Matter of fact, when he asked that question, where are you? He knows where you are. It's a rhetorical question. And then, Robert, you know what he did? He says, you know what, I must be excluding somebody. And so the last couple of weeks, he talked poignantly to the Jews and told them, hey, look, guys. Not by power, position, or prestige. Did you get this? Not because you follow the law. Did you get this? You're included too. You can be saved. I started this book off by saying the power of God under salvation to the Jew first, but also to the Jew, to the Greek. God ain't going to get hung up in worrying so much that you didn't accept him. He's going to move on to Karen. Because he says, if you don't, he will. She will. God's not going to be deterred. God knows what the plan is. And as a matter of fact, he says, keep on bringing it to you no matter what. God knows what the outcome. We can't grow weary, ladies and gentlemen. We cannot grow weary. When people ain't doing what we think they should be doing, we cannot go weary. We've got to do what we got to do. Because there's going to come a time when you can't do. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Oh, let me tell you one thing. There's a whole bunch of us in here that we done passed that threshold where we got more years behind us than we do in front of us. And we know one thing, one day, this is all going to be over with. So we've got to do what we can do while you can do it. Nobody will ask you to do anything when you can't do it. But they should demand that you do what you can do. You should want to do what you can do. And can I change action? You ought to know what you know while you can know it. Shucking and jiving. You know, hiding from the truth. Don't want to be confronted with the truth. You know, want to shuck and jive and sip and sap and tip and clip, but don't want to confront the truth. But see, the truth is going to be here. The grass withers, the flower fades, the coconuts fall out their trees, coffee cups draw up, coffee pots dry up. You can't eat no more cupcakes. But the word is going to be there when all that other junk is gone. Oh, you don't say what stirred him? Love. The only reason I do what I do is out of the love for humanity. When I was a young boy, Newsom probably heard it before, my oldest brother was very artsy. You know, he was a masterful painter and artsy guy, and you know, he loved poetry and stuff like that. And but in school, he didn't care less. He didn't want to do one but two things, art and work. And that's what he did.
He
would play with the heart, and he. But there was a poem that he used to always, and I should remember it now. I mean, it was recited so much. He used to have this poem. I want to live beside the road and be a friend to man. Anybody know that? Let me live in the house beside the road and be a friend to man. I remember those last lines. Let me live in a house beside the road and be a friend to man. It showed that he was more concerned about humanity and love. He just wanted to be a friend to people because he lived beside the road, and there are people that pass along the road. And no matter whether they would pass or whether they would park for a few minutes, I just wanted to be a friend to them. I'd be a friend to them even if they went on past the house. That's out of love, folks. That's out of the thing that God has instilled in us more than some of us realize. You got to love. And that's exactly what Paul is writing about in Romans 12 and 13 today. But Matthew stops by to help Paul out. Can you imagine Matthew, the tax collector, helping Paul? But he's going to do it today. Because over in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, I mean, I love this. And matter of fact, Kendra called me up, hey, man, can I teach this today, you know? Let me have some of it. Because this is his favorite. Because out of it, Matthew comes chapter 22 and 28. And Kendra loves to give you his dissertation on the greatest commandment and the greatest commission. Chapter 22 is the greatest commandment. Chapter 28 is the greatest commission. In chapter 2, though, now I get the tie. Because you can't do the commission unless you know the greatest commandment. Y'all don't hear me. But y'all go there. In chapter 22, and matter of fact, you can go to the printed text today, 35. What does it say? Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him, Master,
which is the great commandment in the law?
And
Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind.
This
is the first and great commandment.
My. Come on, Matthew. How did you interrupt Paul's thoughts here and come up with this greatest commandment thing? I mean, we were on our good gospel groove finding out about justification, sanctification, and glorification. And now you're going to start talking about this love thing? Because remember, I told you that chapters 9 through 11 were almost what we call a parenthetical phrase, a parenthetical chapters. As he stops to talk to the Jews, it says that, you know, it's available for you too. But after that, there's a question. There's another parenthesis. And it's a question.
But what about the law?
See, some folk, no matter how hard you teach, no matter how hard you preach, no matter how hard you share, no matter how hard you care, they just stuck on stupid. And Paul says, it is my job to unstick those that are stuck. And he says, here, the writer says, help Paul out. Kind of soften the blow, soften his position before he gets in here. Because what he's about to tell them, what he's about to show them, or down there in Resurrection, in that little town called Church, he's going to show them that the law is fulfilled in love.
Yeah, y'all, I see it right here. Here's what Jesus said.
I heard what you asked. I heard you, Mr. Tempter, Mr. Trier, but don't be too hard on the brothers. Because this is how they did Bible studies in those days. Because a lot of times, you know, you'd be teaching And the tradition was always instigate, always have a question. Y'all ever been in Bible studies like that? Well, you got one person always want to ask the question. They know the answer, but they just want to ask the question. They want, hey, you know, they know the answer. Nothing changed in all these years. Never have a little Bible study. These lawyers, people who knew the law, they knew it backwards and forwards. If you know the answer to a question, it ain't a good question when you ask it. Generally. But sometimes there are folk that are there that ask questions because they know somebody else really wants to know the answer and don't have it yet. They have it, but they sense that somebody else doesn't have it. And that's why Jesus looked at it. Look at what Jesus said. Jesus said unto him, Jesus didn't look at him and say, "You stupid rascal." Jesus said, "Oh, all right, good question. Okay. do you know Deuteronomy 6? See, that's what he said. His answer, that's what, y'all don't see that, but that's what he said. Because that's what he quoted. He says, everybody knows that. He said, thou shalt love God with all thy what?
Heart.
And all.
Thy
and all.
Thy mind.
In other words, if you're going to love, you got to give it all. And if your love is God, you got to give it your very all. Let me tell you why that's meaningful in our discussion today. Because some folk thought, you mean to tell me I've been saved by grace and mercy? So grace now has replaced the law? What about the law? And Jesus says, I'm going to answer your question. Y'all know what the law says because the law is contained in the Old Testament. And Jesus repeats Deuteronomy 6. But then he adds something to it. This is the first and the great commandment. If you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, would you love God's people? Because if you love somebody, you ought to love the people they love. Because not to love them would hurt them. And you don't go around hurting people you love. Paul says here, this is the greatest commandment. He says, if you get this down, you got everything else. And I thought, man, this is how you practice what we've been learning all these weeks. He says, this is how you put it into practice. This is how I know you know how and who saved you and why you were saved. If you love God. If you love God. But he says, you know what? That's the greatest. But the second one is equal. The second one is that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. When people don't love themselves, they are pitiful. They are deranged. There's something deviant in their personality, in their persona, in their essence. There's something wrong. There's something wrong when you don't love yourself. And so Matthew here is saying, look here. If you just love me the way you love yourself, Keith, you'll be all right. You're all right. You're fulfilling the law of love with God. And as a matter of fact, what Paul is about to tell you is that all
of the law is fulfilled in love. Wait a minute, Paul. I'm waiting on this. Hey, I heard Matthew. Matthew told me those were the two greatest commandments. Talk to me. How do I work that out? Paul says, I'm glad you asked. Can we divert all attention back from Matthew now? He says, come on over to chapter 12. Isn't that where I was? Wasn't that where I was about to be? In chapter 12? He says, that's how we, you know, but I just want you Jews to know. You are asking the question silently, the silent question of what about the law? Paul says, what about the law? And he suggests through Matthew and Mark and Luke and, oh yeah, John. He tells you that there are two great commandments. And that if you fulfill those commandments, if you do the commandments, the greatest commandments, the law is fulfilled. Because you're worried about the law. You're still stuck on the law. After all this teaching that I done told you that salvation is not by works, not by what you do, not by who you know, not by your position, not by your religious heritage, but salvation is by the mercy and the grace of God. And some of you are still asking me about the law. Paul says, I, verse 1, y'all, because they love this one. They love, Sister Bernstein, they love this one. You know, everybody always quotes this. But you got to know the context in which Paul. Read verse 1. Do you understand now why the writers said they had to throw Matthew in there? Because Paul is just too deep now. Because if he says, I beseech you now, brethren, therefore, you got to ask yourself, what is therefore? Therefore. Because the therefore there is connecting everything that he's already said. He's told you salvation by grace. It's by God's divine sovereignty. He's saying it's for the Jew and the Greek. He's saying that Jews shall be saved. He tells us how we get anybody, Jew, Greek, anybody, Russian, immigrant, non-immigrant, anybody who believes that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that he's the Son of God, thou shalt be saved. Paul says it in 10, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, that what? That God raised him from, thou shalt be saved. And then he says, therefore, I beseech you, I beg you, Robbie, that you present, that you yield your body as a living sacrifice. And I'm not talking about, and Paul is talking about, he's giving them imagery of going to the temple and making sacrifice. But he said, don't give them that old dead stuff now. You have been saved by grace. Therefore, present your body. Yield your living body. Don't take all that old dead stuff to the altar every day, offering it up to God. Give him a living sacrifice. Give, you live. Because Jesus died, you live. And Paul says, now I'm begging you, drop that old stuff. Come with something new, fresh. And he says, give all, he says, your bodies. He says, a living sacrifice that's acceptable to God, which is your, you notice he says reasonable? Reasonable talks to ration, rationale. In other words, what's in your mind? What's reason? What's rational? You don't take a living God dead stuff and talking about this is my sacrifice. You don't take stuff you don't want no more and yield it to God. Yield him your total body. All of you. He doesn't want some of you. You know, those of you in my have been in my 201 class, we teach that section on tithing, and we have that little cartoon clip where the man is baptizing the brother, and he says, now, my brother, When I baptize you, everything that goes under the water belongs to God. And the brother holds up his wallet out of the water. But all means all, y'all. That's what all means, all. Not some of you, all of you. And when you yield that body, that total essence of who you are, that's rational. That's reasonable. You say, well, okay, Brother Snead, I got that, but I'm glad Matthew was there because I didn't know he was talking about that. See, Matthew talks about the greatest commandment, and then Paul comes in and tells you, look here, this is how you're going to live out the first one. If you're going to love God, you got to give him all. You can't hide something. You can't hold something back. You got to give him all. You can't just give him Sunday worship. You got to worship him all through the week. You can't just pray when you need something. You got to be offering prayers. Man ought to always pray and seek God's face. You don't need God just when you need help. You know, you need God every hour. I need thee. Oh, I need thee every hour. And so God says, I want it all. And if you understand, if you can give it all, Paul is going to lead him through this thing. He's saying, that's how you fulfill Deuteronomy 6, that you first yield all to God. In verse 2, now, I know what some of you have been taught, but we're just going to teach out of the word. Is that all right, Sister Tony? Okay, all right, thank you. I'll tell you what, let's read this together, and let's be receptive to the topic in which we're talking about. We're talking about how to live out the first commandment, which is loving God, okay? All right, let's read it.
And be not conformed to this world.
Stop. Paul says here, I want y'all to see this. Stop being shaped by the world. You know what? I know you were raised a certain way. But don't let the world shape you like this. When you love God, you don't conform. You don't shape to the world. You simply won't do it. The world, folk, is crazy. Can I tell you?
Yeah.
Will y'all accept it from me?
Yeah.
I ain't talking about just me. I'm talking about the whole world is crazy. They are crazy. As a matter of fact, some of you know, some of you may not know, I'm about to end my career. You know, this illustrious career, something I've held on to, and I said, hey, I'm ready to give it up. You know, all my partners giving it up. You know, I'm saying, hey, I'm going to go give it up too, you know. Hey, they stop, I stop, they stop, you know, hey, you know, we make it. But I look around and I got so many good examples of guys just laying up every day and not starving, Terry. I said, I can give you some of this too. No, that ain't work. But I decided, yes, I'm going to retire, but I'm going to go back to work. I know I promised Deacon Newsom I would not go back to work, but I'm going back to work. Because I was forced to go to a training the other day. Me. Go to a training. And it was about how to deal with people. And I sat through that training, and I listened to this man, and I said, thank you, Lord. I don't even have to retire now. I got a new career. I'm going, hey, Hart, I ain't kidding. I'm going to go around, I'm going to be a consultant. Because, you know, a consultant ain't nobody but somebody who wears a tie and lives more than 25 years from you. That's 25 miles from you. So I'm going to become a consultant. And I'm going to go around offering seminars in how to be human in a devolving world. I got it. I got this thing hooked up. Oh, I'm going to do it, Trellis. Oh, I'm going to bring it. Because I realize one thing, we ain't dealing with human beings anymore. This is something I don't recognize these folks. These folks that are created in the image of God, I don't understand them.
Because these folk are being conformed. They're being shaped to something that I don't recognize. They have been so distorted, I don't even recognize humanity anymore. How can I live beside the road and be a friend to humanity when I don't recognize it? Because we are not, we are being conformed to this world. And Paul here says, don't be conformed. But what? Stop. Wait a minute. Hold. Paul, what did you say? You don't want me shaped to the world? No. But what do you want me to be? I want you to be transformed. Metamorpho is the Greek word. We get our word metamorphosis. In other words, Paul says, you ought to ever be changing, and how you need to be changing, you need to be renewing your mind. In other words, we ain't never going to be able to understand the love of God until we change our thinking. Because thinking won't ever have you anything but conform to this world. Oh, I know what I'm talking about, because I already got my curriculum. I'm getting ready to go on the road here. Stinking thinking. These folk aren't transformed. They're not transformed. They're stuck in the most debased things of the world. They say anything. They do anything. You can't say anything to anybody without them just going off on you, ready to pull guns and shoot. Do y'all realize the murder rate here in San Antonio? Y'all better be careful out there. You got some fools that are conforming to this world, and they'd rather kill you, they'd rather hang you than to hold on to you. And Paul says, you not need to be hanging. You need to be holding on to by the renewing of your mind, by transforming that mind, making that mind right. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. And Paul realizes one thing. You will always believe that the law is going to save you if you don't change your mind. You got to change your mind. You will never be the person you need to be until you can change your mind. Okay? Until you change your mind, you will be stuck in that same old model, doing the same old thing, the same old way, hanging on the corner. You've been graduated for 25 years and you still hanging on the corner, drinking Boone's Farm. Your mind has not been transformed. You're stuck on stupid. You're doing the same old thing. And then you say, well, I don't do that. Okay, let me bowl down your alley. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to be glad in it. Okay? Nah, I ain't going to rejoice. I'm not rejoicing until he says, I'm sorry. I'm not going to rejoice till she makes up. I'm not going to rejoice until he leaves that other woman. I ain't going to rejoice until, have I hit anybody yet? That old conform world thinking. Renew your mind. This is a day that the Lord has made, and I don't care what happens. I'm going to rejoice in it. That ye may test what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God. In other words, if you change your mindset about salvation, this is what he's saying. If you change it about it and realize the importance of it, how it was done, why it was done, and knowing that loving God, that you don't need the law now. You can't keep holding on to that stuff. That's what got you here. That's what got you in the predicament you're in. I lived long enough to know that things have changed. Some for the good and some that's worse. We've gotten rid of some things that we should have kept hold of. But we've held on to a lot more
that we should have gotten rid of a long time ago. Okay? But Paul here says, change your thinking. Because if you change your thinking, you got to change your mind. Because if you change your mind, you'll change how you act on the law. Y'all forgot chapter 7, didn't you? Didn't they, Tracy? Because Paul says, I will serve the law with my mind. Well, you can't serve nothing if you got a tore-up mind. Oh, a lot of us got tore-up minds. And that ain't going to change. That's not going to change. But if we are willing to change our minds, God is willing to take us into an area of blessing. A lot of us can't get the sanctification that we need simply because we're stuck back there in the law.
Yes.
Stuck in the law. Want to do things right. We got to do things. Pray. Don't panic. Pray.
Right.
Okay, now, here's the thing. He says, you've got to test things that are good and acceptable to God. If the way that you talk about you're loving God, you've got to have a sound mind so that you can now go and say, you know what? What's the will of God for that person? You're mad with people that you shouldn't be mad with, folks.
I know that's right. Yeah.
You're holding on to stuff that you don't need to be holding. That ain't love. That ain't love. God, you know what? I shared my heart yesterday with the deacons. Let me tell you one thing. If there's anybody in here, you know, holding something against me about what I said or done, I know it had to be something I said. Let's get that clear. It's got to be something said, not done, but let's clear that up. The love of God has given us a sound mind. We can reason through this thing. And let me tell you one thing. Since Paul has already told you, bro, that you serve the law, you serve the Lord with your mind, guess where the devil is going to attack?
Okay. Your mind.
Your mind. He'll have you believing that people are upset with you and people ain't even thinking about you.
Amen.
I'm telling you. And you know what? Let me tell you one thing. Let's share the brothers. Three, and then some of them, I've got various relationships in here. And we were talking the other day about having threes. You know, three, somebody that can pour into your life, that can talk to you, other than Trellis. Three. Three partners. Then them three partners ain't gonna tell us nothing either.
Okay.
They don't tell her nothing.
Okay.
They know how to, them three partners know how to shut their mouth. They got your back. And you know what? With all these relationships, you gotta have a discerning mind. You gotta realize that there's gonna be some breakdowns every now and then. But the love of God, because I love God, I could never hate you. I could never be so upset with you. That sister Nina just gets on my nerve. I'm sick of her. Everywhere I go, I can't go nowhere. I don't even have no social life no more. She there. Everywhere I go, there she is. Hey, I see you. You know. Now, guess what? I got to embrace that love. I gotta say, look here, hold up. Can you tell me what your calendar is so we can miss each other on the next time? But I still love you. As a matter of fact, as the brother said yesterday, people may be in your three that you don't necessarily go fishing with.
That's right.
That you would go to a ball game with.
Right.
But when it comes to spiritual discernment, somebody who can talk to you, there's some people in this room that can talk to me when I get off track. I ain't talking about Dorothy either. I'm talking about the mother three. She ain't in my three. But you need somebody to get you on track, to get your mind right. I want somebody. Hey, Lord, I tell you, if there's anybody that I hold anything against, I want the Lord to remove that from me right now. Because that does not express the love of God.
There ain't a person in here can say, yeah, that old Sneed, he's done. If it did, something wrong with your mind. Right. You're the one. Your mind is the one to mess up. Because I done forgot about that stuff. Matter of fact, you could have hurt my feelings 10 years ago. I done forgot about it, baby. You up there worrying about somebody who didn't pick you up at the prom. I done forgot about that. I done forgot about that. You worried about some guy who done went on in prison on drugs, and that was your first love. First love? You didn't love him. You lost him. Because if he loved you, you'd be together. Oh, I know I'm right about this. I got to go for it. But we got to renew our minds. We got to quit this old crazy thinking, because when we do it, we forget about the love of God. You can't live out the love for God unless you change your mind. Because the world doesn't think that way, that you should love God. Okay, Paul. I think I got it. But did you skip to chapter 13 on me already? He said, yeah. He says, I told you there were two commandments. Love God and then love your neighbor. And he says, I showed you how to love God. Change your mind. Change your crazy thinking. And he says, let me show you how to love your neighbor. Oh, we ready for this one. Y'all ready for this one? I'm not even going to charge y'all for this one. Okay. Chapter 13, verse 8. I want Paul to show you how you can live out the second commandment. Here it is. Owe no man anything. I want you to stop right there. There's some folk, they always want to borrow something. Hey, Jim, you got them? They got phone calls you won't even take now, you know? Hey, you know, hey, does anybody want to borrow? Hey, man, you know, hey. But Paul here says, no, owe no man anything but one thing. You will always owe the debt of love.
Yes.
That's a debt you can't pay.
No.
Oh, no, that's a debt you can pay, but you can never pay off. Because you always got to love. And that means that I love my neighbor just like I love God. I don't love God and then say, oh, God, I'm mad with you today. I ain't talking to you. Hey, God, we having a fellowship, but you ain't invited. Hey. Are you crazy? And God says, whenever you do that to your neighbor, you're not loving your neighbor like you love yourself. How many folk in here are perfect? Well, I'm the only one? Oh, okay. No, oh, okay. Dr. B said, put my hand down here. Well, if that's the case, Dr. B, that means you didn't raise your hand, that means you're not perfect. That means that you're prone to make some mistakes. And the mistake might be with me. Right? You might get upset with me and treat me differently. And you know what? Come to find out it was a mistake. It was the other guy, bald-head guy with glasses. It was really Jim. See, Jim the one you mad with. It ain't me, Jalen. I'm sorry. It ain't me, Jim. So now you made a mistake. But you know what? I got to forgive you. You said a lot of bad things about me. Mm-hmm. He was guilty. But you know what? If I say I really love you, you remember all the times I love you, Dr. B. You up this time? Yeah, come on, Dr. B. Dr. B, can you do such and such for me? Say, I love you then. But love is not conditional, folks.
No, it's not.
Love is not predicated on whether or not the person makes mistakes or not. You got to treat me as if though I have the same characteristics as God. God can't make no mistake. You ain't mad with him about no mistakes. Why are you going to be mad with me about mine? You ought to deal with me right where I am. You ought to love me because God loves me. You ought to love me because you love you.
That's right. Yeah.
You know how you want to be loved? Let me tell you, I went to a wedding yesterday. Well, actually renewing a vow. This brother got up there. Keith, I'm going to tell you, you should have been there. I know Keith just got recently married. Look here, let me tell y'all something. This brother been married 20 years.
Hawthorne was there. That's his deacon. Oh, this brother got up that gym, and he was going to repeat his vow. Good God Almighty. Everybody wanted to shout, fall out on the floor. Every woman in the house said, that's my husband. That's my husband. That's my husband. But was rapping strong. Hell, he was rapping strong. But let me tell you something. I wasn't so concerned about his rap because I put them together for years and years and years. But let me tell you something. There was something about her response that told me the rap was right. And that was a woman who ain't never missed a word in her life. Ain't never missed an opportunity to yap, you know, pour out her soul to you. Went bankrupt. Bankrupt. And later on I found out why. It was simply because she sees it, but she hadn't heard it in that way. See, the thing about it is we're missing on a lot of levels. Some we're saying, but not doing. Some are doing, but folk don't see it. And the issue is, if you really love me, you gotta love me unconditionally, all the time, even when I'm not lovable. Now, there's one person in here that has a lot of practice with that, you know, has to love me even when I'm unlovable, you know. And but the issue is, she has no greater burden than you. You gotta love me too, even when you don't like it. Even when the Sunday school lessons, you don't like it. You can't go and have a petition to have me removed. Even when you don't like it. I love you. And if I love you, I'm gonna hang, I'm there for you.
Right.
And you know what? Loving you does not mean that I'm all up in you and I forgive everything I don't need. No, if I love you, I'm gonna correct you also. I'm gonna show you where you're going wrong. You know, I'm gonna try to show. But then when you wanna go wrong, I'm gonna say, it's up to you. I'm gonna pray for you. I'm not gonna condemn you. And it's one thing you won't hear me do is talk about you, because I love you. We got to stop killing people with our tongues.
Say that.
We got to do it. Whole bunch of reputations have been ruined, never will be repaired again because of what somebody said. And once you say it, it ain't never taken back. Every time you get ready to do somebody, don't think, Dr. B told me that about Barbara Clayton. Now I'm watching. But me, I'm not an accountant. God is not an accountant because he says he'll forget everything, every sin that you do, every mistake that you make. And he says, I implore y'all to do that to one another. Love each other as you love yourself. For this, he says, for that, love another hath fulfilled the law. If you love one another, you have fulfilled the law. See, you worried about thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this same, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. If you love me, you won't steal from me. If you love me, you won't be coveting my wife. If you love me, you won't be coveting each other. You won't be jealous of one another. He says, but if you can forget about adultery and killing and all of that and just focus on love, you fulfill the law. Because if you really love, you won't do any of those things. And all this craziness that you see on reality TV, you know, brothers taking brothers' wives and wives taking, you know what? You're conforming your mind to this world.
And you're thinking that you're going to church folk think that you was all brushing knee, that ain't happening. You know what, folks? You know, we had Diggins meeting yesterday. There's so much stuff going on in the world. And you know, we had a secondary discussion about why we seeing certain types of behaviors in the church. You know why? Because the world is in the church. Where do you think they came from? Hey, folks, man, let me tell you one thing. If you think you saved just because you in here, if you think you know, I'm around these holy brothers. It is so comforting to be around these brothers. Let me tell you one thing. There's some brothers in here, you single ladies, that I make a jackrabbit eat hot pepper and like it. I'm telling you, they dangerous. There's some sisters in here make you give your baby's milk money to her. Dog, this is a dangerous place. That's why you ought to always pray and seek the Lord's face. But if we were loving one another, this would be a safe place. If we love one another, we would, none of these things that are in the Ten Commandments would happen. You fulfill the law. Let's go. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
And the reason you ought to say amen, that's so, is now you ought to ask yourself, do I love people? Do I love my neighbor? Do I only love people that are in my circle? You know what? Yes, we're encouraged to have those circles of three, but you know what? You ought to have multiple concentric, overriding, overlapping circles, excluding no one. You got to love all people, your neighbor, even people you don't like. Now, there's a lot of folk you may not like, but you're required to love them. But Brother Sneed, how can I do that if I don't like them? Here's how I answer that, Big Newsom. Do you think that God likes everything that you do?
That's right. That's right. Do you think that?
Did y'all forget the lesson over in chapter 8? Here's what 8 says. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet his enemies, Christ died for the ungodly. You up here worried about what I did and what I said. Worry about loving me. That's what I tell them, Barbara. Don't I tell my mom, hey, Brother Steve didn't call me. Oh, he don't care nothing about me. I don't love him no more. Never had it happen. Don't call them. You know what they do? Call me. Hey, bro, you all right? We love you, man. Get on back in there. Get back in the game. We need folk loving each other. Because that's the only way you can fulfill the law. You worried about the law? Grace didn't do away with the law. Grace fulfilled the law. And so now we're asked to give grace to everybody. We're asked to extend mercy to everybody.
Yes.
And Paul here is saying, Cunningham, every time you love your neighbor, you love God, you're fulfilling the law. So the law and grace go hand in hand. Not disobey with it. Don't mean you can act any kind of way. See, because a lot of us think that just because we're grace, we just go ask the Lord for forgiveness and we can live anyway. Paul says, God forbid. Didn't he say that? He said, don't act like that. But see, it ought to be out of a heart, out of a shape. See, that's the way the world does. Watch kids on the playground. Be stone friends. And all of a sudden, you bring one devil into the group. And that one will convince that he or she is not a friend. And before you know it, they're stone enemies. But you have to start very young, down here, the little C callus here. Got to start right there, telling them, don't play those games.
My daughter was told, when they start acting the fool, dividing up and talking about who loves who and who's best friends and all that, go sit down. Get by yourself. Don't be a conformist. And just because somebody don't like somebody, don't mean you gotta not like them. And it bothers me. I'm gonna leave because my love is getting ready to pour out. Because I see people, they get in these little factions. And they stop loving each other because you're not in that group. But let me tell you one thing. I ain't a groupie type of guy. If you love me, you're going to have to love me outside the group. There ain't no group. I don't belong to no fraternity. I gave up my business associates. There are very few groups. The closest group I come to is y'all. And the next closest group, maybe deacons. But I ain't a groupie. So, but if you don't love me and I'm in your group and you want to expel me, that's fine. I just, me and the Lord. Or I have to go to another group. But when I'm kicked out, you'll never hear a mumbling word from me. You'll never hear a bad word from me that I'm no longer in the group. You know why? Because I love you. Despite all your frailties, despite all my faults, I still love you. Because as long as God gives me breath, I'm going to try and understand grace and mercy,
yes.
And know that I'm always fulfilling the law.